Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Well, it's about 5:30 or so in the evening, and, well, that's when he begins. Gets his jogging shoes on, goes out the front door, and begins. Now, he's going out jogging, and he's not too enthusiastic about doing it, okay? And it's something that he used to do back in high school, you know? Getting ready, make sure he's in shape to go play football. So he'd go out jogging all the time. But now, though, well, he's got a different motivation. Well, you know, it's the spread. You know, that middle-aged spread. You know, get a little older there, and that's what was happening. He put on some weight. So I thought, well, you know, I want to get rid of this weight, so I'm going to go out jogging. Difference is, though, is the place where he is at, well, you don't see too many people out jogging. You see, he's much different than the average person. The person that we're talking about here is the Reverend Tim Heine. Now, he's a LCMS missionary, and he's in West Africa. Started off in Ghana, and then he went to Guinea, West Africa, and then into Mali, and then back to Guinea. But the particular time that we're talking about here when he was running is when he was in Mali. Now, one of the key things that a missionary needs to do is learn the local language. Now, Mali used to be a French colony, and so people there speak French. But in the particular town that he's in, well, the primary language there is Mandi, so he's having to learn that. Now, being an older guy, well, it takes a little bit more time than it did when you're younger. Didn't pick up the language quite as quickly, and so he's particularly working on that. And it takes time to learn the language, particularly if you want to make sure that, well, you know enough that you can share Jesus with the local population whose primary faith is Islam. Now, when he spends most of his days there learning language, gradually there, though, you know, he's starting to share that with a few folks. But back to running. Like I said, he went out running just to get in shape. Now, think about this. In the culture in which he's at, adults don't go running. Okay? Kind of reminds me here of the parable of the lost son, all right? So what does the father do when he sees the prodigal son come back, all right? Talks about how he hikes up his robes, right? That's to run. He did that. People don't do that. That's just for young people. And so here he is out there running. So as he put it there, talking about himself here, he's like, it's an out-of-the-ordinary experience for people to see a white guy running around, all right? It was just a bit different. So he decided to take advantage of it. So what he did then is that he's out there running around while he called out to the children there. He's like, come greet me, you know? Now for some, seeing an adult run, that was a bit scary. But others responded immediately and enthusiastically. And that encouraged other kids to come up to him. So if you see one kid come up, well, the other kids go, oh, they're going to do it, I'm going to do it. So they all start coming running up to him. In fact, in some of the neighborhoods in which he was running, so many children were coming up to him that he got stopped. He just could hardly get by because there were so many kids pressing up against him. And he loved it. He was saying, it's like one day, it's like this is my prayer, is that I'll have an opportunity to share Jesus with these children. Well, in our gospel reading, we find Jesus sending out 12 disciples. He gave them this charge. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Well, Jesus sends them out. Now, don't take too much. Now, the Boy Scouts, when they go out there on a trip, I was like, what did the Boy Scouts say? What's their motto? Be prepared. So that means they take everything but the kitchen sink with them, right, when they go out there. And so they got all this stuff. In fact, people just going out tailgating take more with them than they do than what Jesus said to take. Now, Jesus said, all right, just go out there, walking stick, no money bag, no money. Can't go out and buy sodas and, you know, snacks along the way. Don't have any money for that. J- Just go with the shirt on your back and your shoes, and that's it. Why? Well, it helps them keep focus on what their task was. And what was their task? Well, Jesus says, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. Ah, there's the task. Calling people to repentance. Now, when you go out there and do that, some people are receptive to that. And that's okay. In those places, they stuck around, stayed in that person's house there until they were done. So, until they were done sharing God's word. But also going out like that also meant something else too. They had to go out there into the world not knowing where their next meal would come from. And what was that doing? It was forcing them to rely on God that He'd give them what they needed. That they would have all of their wants taken care of, but it was only coming if they trust in God. And so that was teaching them that God will take care of them. And again, because what is their task? Calling people to repent. Now, calling people to repent, it's not too popular today, is it? Calling out sin today just might land you in jail. Particularly if you go north of the border here, that could certainly happen. Maybe not yet here, but it's getting closer and closer each day. And why is that? Well, people don't like to hear that their behavior is a sin and that it's against God. For example, people don't like to be told that using bad language, all right? Don't use it, okay? Using the Lord's name in vain. People don't like to be told that they should honor the Sabbath. Think how many people are home on Sunday mornings. In fact, I know one congregation that has a visitation pastor. He goes out and visits all those folks who aren't there on Sunday mornings. He goes knocking on their door on a Sunday morning. That's rather interesting. You only got one pastor, so you're okay right now. Okay, but what is it? People don't like to hear about change. And this is why Jesus prepared the disciples to expect that kind of response. Again, like Jesus shared, some people receive you and others, well, if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you when you leave, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. There will be places where people don't want to hear what you have to say. And what did Jesus say about that? He said, leave that place. Okay? Think about all those unreceptive places out there. The disciples still went there, though, and they preached. The people at least need to hear it one time. But if they don't receive it and hear it, well, again, at least they've heard it at least once. And what were the disciples supposed to do? And if they didn't receive it, leave. Now, what do we call it when people do not receive what we have been sharing? We call it rejection. Okay? Jesus tells us in advance that there will be times in which you are rejected for what you are sharing. People, like I said, don't like to be told when they are doing something wrong. They'll reject what you have to say. And when they do, that can be discouraging. Okay? We may feel disheartened by that, even though God's word is pretty straightforward, plain as day. We might be disheartened by that, might feel sick about it. We might feel sick about it because why? We know what the consequences are when someone rejects God's word. You see, when they're rejecting God's word and rejecting repentance, not changing their ways, they're putting their soul at risk. And we know that. And that hurts. Sometimes we take it a little bit personal. Not unlike Samuel back in the day. Go back in the Old Testament. Samuel, prophet, also the last judge. Okay, what happened? The people there in Israel at the time, they're like, hey, we want a king. Everybody else around us, every other country around us, they've got a king. We don't have a king. Samuel, we want a king. And Samuel was getting upset. It's like, you know, Lord, they're not listening to me. You know, here they're wanting a king. And what did God say to Samuel? He said, "They have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them." What this means then is that when you're sharing God's word and people reject you, they are not rejecting you, they are rejecting the one who sent you. You see, folks, coming to faith, bringing a person to faith, that's God's job, okay? Your only mission there, out there in the world, is to tell others what you know about Jesus. You see, calling people to repent is part of talking about Jesus, showing people that they need a Savior. People don't realize they need to be saved unless they are shown why. Some folks reject it, and we reject it too sometimes when we turn away from God's word. But when we turn back to God, what do we find? We find forgiveness, and that's because we have a loving God. Folks need to know that there is a loving God. Telling folks that we have a loving God is part of our mission, what we need to do. So we share the word. And yes, sometimes, again, that's telling folks what God has to say. Calling folks to repent, well, that's part of the mission. And even though they may say to you, "You're judging me." No, you're not. You're not judging them. All you're doing is sharing God's word with them. And if they don't like it, and I've told folks this many a time, if you don't like what you're hearing from me, take it up with the author. It's his book, not mine. You see, you take the burden off of you. All your job is to do is to share it. It's God's word. We're trusting and believing in him. Because what's happening here, again, is where we need to remember, making sure folks come to faith is not our job, okay? That's the Holy Spirit's job. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts people of their sins, and then when they realize that they are a sinner, that they need to be saved, then what's the next job the Holy Spirit does? He points them to Jesus. Our mission is just to talk about Jesus, to share about Jesus, and love, love, love them, no matter what their reaction might be. That's what we are called to do. Well, Pastor Heine, he was out jogging one evening and doing his routine, and part of that routine was is that and while he's jogging through the neighborhood, there all the kids are coming up to him, greeting him, you know, high five, shaking his hands, all those kind of good fun things. And sometimes as he's going around, as he's doing that in the evening, again, it's after the work day, there's folks who are gathered out there, adults. And so as he's running by these folks too, he'd go up there and he'd greet them as well. Started coming up with conversation with him. Now, at first he said he was a little intimidated about this because he wasn't sure what kind of reaction he's going to be. I mean, he's in a Muslim culture, and so he's not sure how they're going to react to this missionary coming in here talking about Jesus. But nonetheless, still struck up conversations with him. And then one day, as he's running around, one of the guys there asks him, stops him, you know, there's a conversation there, and he goes, you had one of your big prayer days this past week, didn't you? Well, Pastor Heine was rather stunned because what he was referring to was it was Easter. And he was stunned the fact that here are these people here, he didn't even think that they knew what was going on in his little church. And so the guy's like, "Yeah, you had your big prayer day here this past week." And he looks him in the eye and he goes, "Why didn't you invite me?" We live in hostile times, or seemingly so, and sometimes with hostile people. And we live in a world there that there are many people who reject Jesus. But not everyone does. You see, there are still some who we might automatically think are in the other camp, and even though we talk to them, they know who we are, we don't share Jesus with them. But sometimes there's folks in there who want to hear about Jesus. And how are they going to hear about him unless we share what we know? See, like the gal when I talked about, Marion Schneckenberg, who we had the funeral for yesterday. Next door neighbor invited her to church. She was but a child. She became a powerful witness to the Lord. Think about what can happen when you, all you have to do is just talk to others about Jesus, and you don't have to worry about whether they come to faith or not, because that's God's job. Think how many more people might hear, come to know, and come to faith, because you had the courage to share Jesus with others. Don't worry about the rejection. Doesn't matter, okay? You just get out there and share God's word. And then we can sit back and watch and see how God's going to work in their lives and your lives through you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.